Today, taking some time to visit with Congressman Randy Feenstra. And Congressman, thanks for taking time to visit. Actually, you're on the phone, so pretty busy.
Absolutely. I am out in Washington doing the people's work, Jim. So it's great to be on KWBG today. So we can have a good conversation.
I'm guessing that, and I know that you had an event the other night, a lot of telephone people raising questions about talking about the One Big Beautiful Bill. And I know that right now the issue is we've got to wait and see what the Senate's going to do, and then we've got to see if we can put something together, right?
Absolutely. You know, we passed it in the House a week and a half ago. The Senate hopefully passes it this weekend. That's the plan. And we're going to hopefully pass it next weekend before the 4th. The whole plan is that President Trump will sign it on our 250th birthday on July 4th. So we got work to do, but we're going to get it done.
All right. So tell me a little bit. I know there are things in there that you like. You also obviously have some things you have concerns about.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, the big thing that everybody has to know, this is the largest tax cut for working and middle-class families in American history. I mean, this is really significant. For a family of four, it would reduce taxes by anywhere from $1,700 to $2,500 a year. It increases their wages as much as $13,300 a year. But the other big thing it does, it cuts our deficit. We have a $38 trillion deficit. This cuts it by about $2 trillion. It also secures the border by creating dollars to build the wall and to give more dollars to border agents. And it creates energy independence through ethanol, biodiesel, and reforming a regulatory environment for oil and gas. So this is just, to me, it's a once-in-a-lifetime bill that's really going to change our economy in the U.S.
And I know people keep talking about the Medicaid part. The one part on that, and I know you're very familiar with, is I was one of those states that uses that provider tax to help enhance what they've got available for Medicaid.
Yeah, exactly. So the provider tax is being negotiated right now in the U.S. Senate. We're very involved in that. But we also want to make sure that we're protecting pregnant moms, kids, and disabled. That's what Medicaid is all about, all right? But we also have to understand this, is that if you're an able-bodied worker, that there should be work requirements. If you're going to get Medicaid, then you should be able to work 30 hours at least a month, or 80 hours a month. Mm-hmm. And then we're also making sure that illegals do not get Medicaid. So these are all things that are happening right now in that area, in that piece of the bill. But we just want to make sure that we have Medicaid long-term and do the right things to provide that for our country.
Okay. Well, I know that obviously the big thing is Senate needs to get something done. They're having their own issues over it. And then it's a matter of getting both sides together, the House and the Senate. And we'll have to wait and see what comes up again.
That's exactly right.
That's
exactly
the process.
We're working together right now on that. You know, making sure that when it comes back from the Senate, that it's got all the stuff in it that the House wants, that we can just pass it and get it to the president's desk.
Yeah, that's the process. We got to go through that, too.
That's right.
Some of the other things that happened recently, I know you were pretty successful with the efforts to try to prohibit China, foreign countries in particular, of acquiring more farmland. And we've been doing that already here in the state.
Yeah, we have. Again, Iowa farmland belongs to the Iowa farmer. And we want to make sure that we understand who's buying our farmland. You know, this started, obviously, when China bought farmland near the military base in Grand Fork, North Dakota. I had a bill that passed that was voted on 407-26 to ban China from buying farmland suitable for domestic energy production. So there's a lot going on. Again, it's all about making sure that we know who's buying the land, why they're buying it, and making sure that we stop foreign adversaries from buying it for wrong purposes.
Okay.
And then even foreign outside investors. You know, we got to keep this land in Iowa with the people living in Iowa. The next generation is so important to us.
Well, let's talk about Farm Bill. I know you'd like to say, I feel we're close, but we might be close, but it is always a challenge, and we're seeing a lot of urban rural split on this.
Yeah, we are. I tell you, again, so we're doing two different things. We're actually splitting the Farm Bill this year, meaning the reconciliation, the big, beautiful bill, will have a lot of pieces that are currently in the Farm Bill. The big piece, obviously, the 83% of the dollars that go in the Farm Bill is for SNAP.
Yep.
That will now be in reconciliation. The big issue there is, you know, making sure that we're handing, figuring out error rates in states. So the money goes down to each state and the state provides it. So like Iowa, we have a low error rate, 6%, meaning that we're making sure that the people that need it are getting it instead of having it go to people that are fraudulently taking it. You've got states like California and New York that have error rates of anywhere from 40 to 60%. So this bill sort of stops that. That's very important. So that will be out of the farm bill. That's very important. And then also in reconciliation, which will not be in the farm bill, is the crop insurance piece of it, and then also reference prices, increasing reference prices on corn from $3.70 to $4.10, and then soybeans from $8.40 to $10. So then when you start looking at the farm bill, it becomes a very skinny farm bill that will handle research, that will handle conservation, and they will also handle foreign diseases for animals, and then export market when it comes to FMD and MAP programs.
Okay.
So we will still get it. I think now with a skinny farm bill, we should get that done by September 30.
Okay.
I hope.
You're optimistic, probably more than me, but I think, you know, things can be worked out. And like you said, splitting it out, getting some of those issues out of there, SNAP in particular, that's always been a big holdup.
Absolutely. If you take that out, then it really makes it manageable. So I sit on both Ways and Means and Ag Committee, the only one in the Congress that does sit on both. And so I'm working on it from the Ways and Means side on all the current programs, and then all obviously the skinny farm bill on the ag side. So I just truly believe sitting on both committees, we're going to make a run, and we're going to get it done.
All right, let's talk a little bit about trade deals. I know tariffs, and that's whether they're on, whether they're not, if they're on hold, and then at the same time trying to work out trade deals. And you know, a lot of people will say, okay, well, you know, they've agreed to this. But all the hard work comes up below that level when you get the two sides together. That's where it really, the work gets done.
Right, right. I mean, we've been taking advantage of the last two decades. So, you know, we are making it a mission to make sure we have fair trade in our country. Now, just give you a heads up where we're at on this. First of all, we want to open more export markets for ag. I mean, we're going to have a massive corn and soybean crop. So we got to open more ag markets. So we did that last week. We announced a trade deal with UK. That secured $700 million of U.S. ethanol exports, secured $250 million in U.S. beef shipments. We secured Vietnam, has announced $800 million in new Iowa ag products. And then we met in London with China, and we're very close to getting that China deal done, which will be just incredible for our ag community. You know, last time we didn't get it done, and all of a sudden China started buying soybeans from Argentina and Brazil, which is a real problem. And then India, Japan, we're meeting with Japan this afternoon. That's very important. And Philippines, and there's a lot of other countries, but the dominoes are ready to fall. We're hoping that they can fall in the next 3 to 4 weeks and get this stuff done to have ag markets and hopefully then increase our commodity prices.
Well, I know that, and the big thing, like I said, too, is a lot of it is in the, it's not necessarily the top level people that are going to make the announcement. It's everybody else that's underneath working at that. And
there's a lot of people, including myself, working on the tax structures and things like that. Yeah. So there's a lot going on, yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a few other things. I know one of the things, we know like the electric credits for wind turbines and solar is one of the issues in the big, beautiful bill. And I know that you guys are watching that closely because you have a sizable amount in your district. We also know that we're ending some of the EV mandates in California, things like that. Ending those doesn't mean they're going away. It doesn't.
For wind and solar, obviously, creating some off-ramps with projects ready to start and stuff like that, that they can be completed, which is very important. The EV, obviously, under the Inflation Reduction Act under Biden, there's a $7,500 EV tax credit. Again, I believe that consumers should have choices. I don't care if people want a tax or have electric vehicles or a combustion engine. It's just a matter of not putting our thumb on the scale as government. And so we're getting rid of that tax credit. We're also, getting rid of the zero emission by 2030 and making sure that, again, we can drive where we want in America and not be restricted because California is going down that path.
Sure.
So, again, there's a lot of positive things, especially in liquid fuels in this bill. They'll help ethanol and biodiesel also.
Yeah. You must be looking at this, what was it, Brazil? Yeah, the 30% ethanol? Oh, interesting.
I tell you what, that is quite something. I mean, Brazil with the tariffs and all this stuff, they're really making a lot of product right now, and they're giving it to the world at a lower price. So we're competing with Brazil and Argentina. That's hurting our markets, and that's why we've got to get more competitive, and that's what we're trying to do.
All right. Let's talk finally a little bit about what's happening. I know you're watching the rain. So it's been going around here. Got some river levels going up, not near what we were dealing with last year, but we've had some pretty good recovery going on for our flooding that happened up in the northern part of the state.
Yeah, you never know when this happens. And in northwest Iowa, we got 10 inches of rain a year ago. Created a tremendous amount of flooding. Obviously, FEMA stepped in. We're getting buyouts on houses. We made sure that the schools are back going. We opened up the post offices again in multiple towns. You never want to see this devastation. We saw this with the derecho several years ago, right? But we got to be prepared, and then we got to take care of one another when it happens. So, again, we have this great, bountiful crop out there. We've had the right heat. We've had the right rain at this point. For me, we have to make sure that we have the markets for these products and making sure that the commodity markets are there, that obviously when ag is successful, that means our schools, our hospitals, our main streets are successful. So it all goes together.
Well, I know that, again, at least at this point, we've got a lot of people kind of waiting now, I guess. Are you guys just waiting to see what the Senate gets done with so you can get to negotiating and get home for the 4th? Or
Well, we're not waiting. We're advocating for our positions in the Senate. We're all calling senators, and especially our own senators, saying, hey, this is really good with what the House passed. Just keep what the House has. But we're hoping that they start their voting on Saturday, and we get this bill passed early next week. Again, we want it signed on July 4th on our U.S. birthday, 250 years. So, we got work to do in the next 7 to 9 days here.
Okay, just got to ask you one last question. The bombing at Iran, your thoughts on this, and is it something to continue to pay attention to?
It is. I mean, we have to understand why it happened, first of all. Obviously, we got in, we got out, but we had to prevent the Ayatollah from enriching dangerous levels of uranium to have nuclear weapons. I mean, they have chanted death to America, death to Israel. I mean, we saw that they're the proxies. They're paying many dollars to Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. I mean, they're the ones that are really creating terror across the globe. So if you can cut off the snake's head, meaning if you can cut off their nuclear capabilities, that goes a long ways to creating peace in the Middle East and securing safety here in America. So I believe there's a peace deal currently. There's settlement happening right now, and I hope that sticks.
All righty. I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us. Look forward to when you get a chance to stop by again, and we'll have a little longer discussion.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks for having me on KWBG.